71. A Sign of Humanity. 11 years ago. There weren't enough boats for an amphibious attack on Rathalas, so Dalinar was forced to use a more conventional assault. He marched down from the west, having sent Adolin back to Kolinar, and assigned Satius and his forces to come in from the east. They converged toward the rift. Dalinar spent much of the trip passing through pungent smoke trails from the incense Evie burned in a small censer attached to the side of her carriage. A petition to the heralds to bless her marriage. He often heard her weeping inside the vehicle, though whenever she left it, she was perfectly composed. She read letters, scribed his responses, and took notes at his meetings with generals. In every way, she was the perfect Alethi wife. But her unhappiness crushed his soul. Eventually, they reached the plains around the lake, crossing the riverbed, which was dry except during storms. The rock buds drank so fully of the local water supply they'd grown to enormous sizes. Some were taller than a man's waist, and the vines they produced were as thick as Dalinar's wrist. He rode alongside the carriage, his horse's hooves beating a familiar rhythm on the stones beneath, and smelled incense. Evie's hand reached out of her carriage's side window, and she placed another glyph ward into the censer. He didn't see her face, and her hand retreated quickly. Storming woman. An Alethi would be using this as a ploy to guilt him into bending. But she wasn't Alethi, for all her earnest imitations. Evie was far too genuine, and her tears were real. She sincerely thought their spat back in the Vaden Fortress boded ill for their relationship. That bothered him, more than he wanted to admit. A young scout jogged up to give him the latest report. The vanguard had secured his desired campground near the city. There had been no fighting yet, and he hadn't expected any. Tanalan would not abandon the walls around the rift to try to control ground beyond Bowshot. It was good news, but Dalinar still wanted to snap at the messenger. He wanted to snap at someone. Stormfather, this battle couldn't come soon enough. He restrained himself and sent the messenger woman away with a word of thanks. Why did he care so much about Evie's petulance? He'd never let his arguments with Gavilar bother him. Storms, he'd never let his arguments with Evie bother him this way before. It was strange. He could have the accolades of men, fame that stretched across a continent, but if she didn't admire him, he felt that he had somehow failed. Could he really ride into combat feeling like this? No, he couldn't. Then do something about it. As they wound through the plain of rock buds, he called to the driver of Evie's carriage, having him stop. Then, handing his horse's reins to an attendant, he climbed into the carriage. Evie bit her lip as he settled down on the seat across from her. It smelled nice within. The incense was fainter here, while the creme dust of the road was blocked by wooden cloth. The cushions were plush, and she had some dried fruit in a dish, even some chilled water.
"What is wrong?" she demanded.
"I was feeling saddle sore."
She cocked her head.
"Perhaps you could request a salve."
"I want to talk, Evie," Dalinar said with a sigh. "I'm not actually sore."
"Oh."
She pulled her knees up against her chest. In here, she had undone and rolled back her safe hand sleeve, displaying her long, elegant fingers.
"Isn't this what you wanted?" Dalinar said, looking away from the safe hand. "You've been praying nonstop."
"For the heralds to soften your heart."
"Right. Well, they've done that. Here I am. Let's talk."
"No, Dalinar,"
she said, reaching across to fondly touch his knee.
"I wasn't praying for myself, but for those of your countrymen you are planning to kill."
"The rebels?"
"Men no different from you who happen to be born in another city. What would you have done had an army come to conquer your home?"
"I'd have fought," Dalinar said. "As they will. The better men will dominate."
"What gives you the right?"
"My sword," Dalinar shrugged. If the Almighty wants us to rule, we'll win. If he doesn't, then we'll lose. I rather think he wants to see which of us is stronger.
And is there no room for mercy?
Mercy landed us here in the first place. If they don't want to fight, they should give in to our rule.
But...
She looked down, hands in her lap.
I'm sorry. I don't want another argument.
I do, Dalinar said. I like it when you stand up for yourself. I like it when you fight.
She blinked tears and looked away.
Evie, Dalinar said.
I hate what this does to you, she said softly. I see beauty in you, Dalinar Kholin. I see a great man struggling against a terrible one. And sometimes you get this look in your eyes, a horrible, terrifying nothingness, like you have become a creature with no heart, feasting upon souls to fill that void, dragging Painspren in your wake. It haunts me, Dalinar.
Dalinar shifted on the carriage seat. What did that even mean? A look in his eyes? Was this like when she'd claimed that people stored bad memories in their skin and needed to rub them off with a stone once a month? Westerners had some curiously superstitious beliefs.
What would you have me do, Evie? He asked softly.
Have I won again?
She said, sounding bitter.
Another battle where I've bloodied you?
I need to know what you want, so I can understand.
Don't kill today. Hold back the monster.
And the rebels? Their Bright Lord?
You spared that boy's life once before.
An obvious mistake.
A sign of humanity, Dalinar. You asked what I want. It is foolish, and I can see there is trouble here, that you have a duty. But I do not wish to see you kill. Do not feed it.
He rested his hand on hers. Eventually, the carriage slowed again, and Dalinar stepped out to survey an open area not clogged by rock buds. The vanguard waited there, 5,000 strong, assembled in perfect ranks. Tileb did like to put on a good show. Across the field, outside a bowshot, a wall broke the landscape with, seemingly, nothing to protect. The city was hidden in the rift in the stone. From the southwest, a breeze off the lake brought the fecund scent of weeds and creme. Tileb strode up, wearing his plate. Well, Adolin's plate. Evie's plate.
Right, Lord, Tileb said. A short time ago, a large guarded caravan left the rift. We hadn't the men to besiege the city, and you had ordered us not to engage. So I sent a scout team to tail them, men who know the area, but otherwise let the caravan escape. You did well, Dalinar said, taking his horse from a groom. Though I'd have liked to know who was bringing supplies to the rift, that might have been an attempt to draw you away into a skirmish. However, gather the vanguard now and bring them in behind me. Pass the word to the rest of the men. Have them form ranks, just in case.
Sir? Tileb asked, shocked.
You don't want to rest the army before attacking?
Dalinar swung into the saddle and rode past him at a trot, heading toward the rift. Tileb, usually so unflappable, cursed and shouted orders, then hurried to the vanguard, gathering them and marching them hastily behind Dalinar. Dalinar made sure not to get too far ahead. Soon he approached the walls of Rathalas, where the rebels had gathered, primarily archers. They wouldn't be expecting an attack so soon, but of course Dalinar wouldn't camp for long outside either, not exposed to the storms.
Do not feed it.
Did she know that he considered this hunger inside of him, the bloodlust, to be something strangely external? A companion? Many of his officers felt the same. It was natural. You went to war, and the thrill was your reward. Dalinar's armorers arrived, and he climbed out of the saddle and stepped into the boots they provided, then held out his arms, letting them quickly strap on his breastplate and other sections of armor.
"Wait here," he told his men, then climbed back onto his horse and set his helm on his pommel.
He walked his horse out onto the killing field, summoning his shard blade and resting it on his shoulder, reins in the other hand. Years had passed since his last assault on the rift. He imagined Gavilar racing ahead of him, Sadeus cursing from behind them and demanding prudence. Dalinar picked his way forward until he was about halfway to the gates. Any closer, and those archers were likely to start shooting. He was already well within their range. He stilled his horse and waited. There was some discussion on the walls. He could see the agitation among the soldiers. After about 30 minutes of him sitting there, his horse calmly licking the ground and nibbling at the grass that peeked out, the gates finally creaked open. A company of infantrymen poured out, accompanying 2 men on horseback. Dalinar dismissed the bald one with the purple birthmark across half his face. He was too old to be the boy Dalinar had spared. It had to be the younger man riding the white steed, cape streaming behind him. Yes, he had an eagerness to him, his horse threatening to outstrip his guards. And the way he stared daggers at Dalinar. This was Bright Lord Tanelon, son of the old Tanelon, whom Dalinar had bested after falling down into the rift itself. That furious fight across wooden bridges and then in a garden suspended from the side of the chasm. The group stopped about 50 feet from Dalinar.
"Have you come to parley?" called the man with the birthmark on his face.
Dalinar walked his horse closer so he wouldn't have to shout. Tanelon's guards raised shields and spears. Dalinar inspected them, then the fortifications.
"You've done well here. Pullman on the walls to push me off should I come in alone. Netting draped down at the top, which you can cut free to entangle me."
"What do you want, tyrant?"
Tanelon snapped. His voice had the typical nasal accent of the rifters. Dalinar dismissed his blade and swung free of his horse, plate grinding on stone as he hit the ground.
"Walk with me a moment, Bright Lord. I promise not to harm you unless I'm attacked first."
"I'm supposed to take your word?"
"What did I do the last time we were together?" Dalinar asked. "When I had you in my hand, how did I act?"
"You robbed me."
"And?"
Dalinar asked, meeting the younger man's violet eyes. Tanelon measured him, tapping one finger against his saddle. Finally, he dismounted. The man with the birthmark put a hand on his shoulder, but the youthful Bright Lord pulled free.
"I don't see what you hope to accomplish here, Blackthorn,"
Tanelon said, joining Dalinar.
"We have nothing to say to one another."
"What do I want to accomplish?"
Dalinar said, musing.
"I'm not certain. My brother is normally the talker."
He started walking along the corridor between the 2 hostile armies. Tanelon lingered, then jogged to catch up.
"Your troops look good," Dalinar said. "Brave, arrayed against a stronger force, yet determined."
"They have strong motivation, Blackthorn. You murdered many of their fathers."
"It will be a pity to destroy them in turn."
"Assuming you can."
Dalinar stopped and turned to regard the shorter man. They stood on a too quiet field, where even the rock buds and the grass had the sense to withdraw.
"Have I ever lost a battle, Tanelon?"
Dalinar asked softly.
"You know my reputation. Do you think it exaggerated?"
The younger man shifted, looking over his shoulder toward where he had left his guards and advisors. When he looked back, he was more resolved.
"Better to die trying to bring you down than to surrender."
"You'd better be sure of that," Dalinar said. "Because if I win here, I'm going to have to make an example. I'll break you, Tanelon.
Your sorry weeping city will be held up before all who would defy my brother. Be absolutely certain you want to fight me, because once this starts, I will be forced to leave only widows and corpses to populate the rift.
The young nobleman's jaw slowly dropped.
My brother attempted words and politics to bring you into line, Dalinar said. Well, I'm good at only one thing. He builds, I destroy. But because of the tears of a good woman, I have come, against my better judgment, to offer you an alternative. Let's find an accommodation that will spare your city.
An accommodation? You killed my father!
And someday a man will kill me, Dalinar said. My sons will curse his name as you curse mine. I hope they don't throw away thousands of lives in a hopeless battle because of that grudge. You want vengeance? Fine, let's duel, me and you. I'll lend you a blade and plate and we'll face each other on equal grounds. I win and your people surrender.
And if I beat you, will your armies leave?
Hardly, Dalinar said. I suspect they'll fight harder. But they won't have me, and you'll have won your father's blade back. Who knows? Maybe you'll defeat the army. You'll have a better storming chance, at least.
Tanelon frowned at Dalinar.
You aren't the man I thought you were.
I'm the same man I've always been. But today... today that man doesn't want to kill anyone.
A sudden fire inside him raged against those words. Was he really going to such lengths to avoid the conflict he'd been so anticipating?
One of your own is working against you,
Tanelon suddenly said.
The loyal high princes? There's a traitor among them.
I'd be surprised if there weren't several, Dalinar said. But yes, we know that one has been working with you.
A pity,
Tanelon said.
His men were here not an hour ago. A little earlier and you'd have caught them. Maybe they'd have been forced to join me and their master would have been pulled into the war.
He shook his head, then turned and walked back toward his advisors. Dalinar sighed in frustration.
A dismissal. Well, there had never been much of a chance that this would work.
He walked back to his horse and pulled himself up into the saddle. Tanelon mounted as well. Before riding back to his city, the man gave Dalinar a salute.
This is unfortunate, he said, but I see no other way. I cannot defeat you in a duel, Blackthorn. To try would be foolish. But your offer is appreciated.
Dalinar grunted, pulled on his helm, then turned his horse.
Unless,
Tanelon said.
Unless?
Unless, of course, this was really a ruse all along. A scheme arranged by your brother, you and me,
Tanelon said.
A false rebellion, intended to trick disloyal high princes into revealing themselves.
Dalinar raised his faceplate and turned back.
Perhaps my outrage was feigned, Tanelon said. Perhaps we have been in touch since your attack here all those years ago. You did spare my life, after all.
Yes, Dalinar said,
feeling a sudden surge of excitement.
That would explain why Gavilar didn't immediately send our armies against you. We were in collusion all along.
What better proof than the fact that we just had this strange battlefield conversation?
Tanelon looked over his shoulder at the body of his men on the wall.
My men must be thinking it very odd. It will make sense when they hear the truth. That I was telling you about the envoy that had been here, delivering weapons and supplies to us from one of your secret enemies.
Your reward, of course, Dalinar said, would be legitimacy as a High Lord in the kingdom. Perhaps that High Prince's place. And no fighting today,
Tanelon said.
No deaths. No deaths. Except perhaps for the actual traitors.
Tanelon looked to his advisors. The man with the birthmark nodded slowly.
They headed east, toward the unclaimed hills,
Tanelon said, pointing.
100 soldiers and caravaniers. I think they were planning to stay for the night in the waystop at a town called Videliar.
Who was it? Dalinar asked. Which High Prince?
It might be best if you find out for yourself as
who?
Dalinar demanded.
Bright Lord Toral Sadius.
Sadius? Impossible.
As I said, Tanelon noted, best if you see for yourself. But I will testify before the king, assuming you keep your side of our accord.
Open your gates to my men, Dalinar said, pointing. Stand down your soldiers. You have my word of honor for your safety.
With that, he turned and trotted back toward his forces, passing into a corridor of men. As he did, Teleb ran up to meet him.
Bright Lord, he said. My scouts have returned from surveying that caravan. Sir, it
was from a High Prince.
Undoubtedly, Teleb said. They couldn't determine which one, but they claim to have seen someone in shard plate among them.
Shard plate? That made no sense. Unless that is how he's planning to see that we lose, Dalinar thought. That might not have been a simple supply caravan. It could be a flanking force in disguise.
A single shard bearer hitting the back of his army while it was distracted could do incredible damage. Dalinar didn't believe Tanelon, not completely. But storms, if Sadius secretly had sent one of his shard bearers to the battlefield, Dalinar couldn't just send a simple team of soldiers to deal with him.
You have command, he said to Teleb. Tanelon is going to stand down. Have the vanguard join the locals on the fortifications, but do not displace them. Camp the rest of the army back in the field, and keep our officers out of Rathalas. This isn't a surrender. We're going to pretend that he was on our side all along, so he can save face and preserve his title. Orinar, I want a company of 100 elites, our fastest, ready to march with me immediately.
They obeyed, asking no questions. Runners dashed with messages, and the entire area became a hive of motion, men and women hastening in all directions. One person stood still in the midst of it, hands clasped hopefully at her breast.
What happened?
Evie asked as he trotted his horse toward her.
Go back to our camp and compose a message to my brother saying that we may have brought the rift to our side without bloodshed.
He paused, then added,
Tell him not to trust anyone. One of our closest allies may have betrayed us. I'm going to find out.